I'm joined by Nicolas van Dam, a former Dutch diplomat in a number of Middle East countries, and author of The Struggle for Power in Syria, which has just been reissued with an update on the latest situation. Nicolas, how in control do you think President Bashar al-Assad is?
Well, I think he has been put on the top of the regime when his father died as a kind of compromise to prevent any struggle for power between the main officers who were supporting that regime. So he came out of the blue, was more or less parachuted there, and they respected him because they respected the heritage of his father. But when I go by the facts from the last few weeks or months, he doesn't seem to be fully in control, because he had ordered that there should not be no shooting against demonstrators, and it simply went on. And I think that's because the power institutions are manned by people who are used to use violence, who have been used for tens of years to act completely on their own. So I think he is not fully in control, but he is in control as long as the other officers, the main officers, let him being in control.
Who is in control then? His brother?
Well, I think he is in control, but his brother, the other people handling the military apparatus, the security apparatus, they are in control as a group. So if the president, for instance, would be removed, there is not one single officer who would then be in control, who would be a clear successor. So he's, by grace of, let's say, cooperation of a number of officers, he is in control, but he is not fully in control. So his brother, for instance, Maher, plays an enormous, important role in trying to beat down, to quell these demonstrations, but it's going very, very, very rough, and I don't think the president has control over the way it goes, and that's why also it goes very, very wrong.
So this is the reason he can't reform. Someone else is in charge?
Well, one of the problems is, no, that's not the reason. The reason is that if he would reform, then it will mean also his end, because real reform would mean the end to the monopoly of the regime of the Ba'ath Party, the end of the monopoly of power of a certain number of Alawite officers who are very close to the president. I mean, they will also, when there is reform, there is a kind of democracy, people will ask immediately for his resignation, for him to step down and to have a kind of court-martialing of all those people who are responsible. So making reform would be very good, but it will mean also the end of his regime in the long run, because immediately people will start asking for more, which is quite reasonable after almost half a century of dictatorship by one party and one group.
The regime is keen to start some kind of national dialogue, as it calls it, with the opposition. The opposition is refusing to take part in that. Do you think they're right not to talk to the regime?
Well, I think it depends on how pragmatic you want to be. If you don't want to talk to the regime, the end will only be a kind of confrontation. And if you use peaceful means, as the regime says it does, you will never be able to bring down the president or his regime, except if from within the regime there will be people who will think in the end, well, this has been enough, we don't accept this violence, and so on, we will act also against the president. But that's not the result of a dialogue or a non-dialogue. I think the people who are within Syria, some people, prominent people like Michel Kilo, who have been in prison for a long time, they don't say there is a dialogue, but they want to be expressing themselves of what would be the best for the country, for a peaceful transformation. I think it's easy to say we don't want any dialogue, but then you must wait for the regime to step down, and it doesn't. So that will not end the situation. Of course, it's a matter of also choosing between justice and between going into a new situation as pragmatic as possible without losing too many lives. So There are people who want, who are willing to talk to the regime, but only under certain preconditions. What the regime wants is a kind of discussion which, in my perception, doesn't lead to much, because the regime doesn't really want to talk to the opposition. They want to have a kind of discussion about the future of Syria, but with them in it playing a substantial role.
What about the international community? What can it do?
Well, I think the international community in the past has failed to communicate with the regime. So the United States, European Union, they have imposed sanctions. But it's all right to impose sanctions, but if you don't, parallel to that, have a kind of discussion with the regime directly in an effort to try to convince it, to convince the president what he might do to help solve it, then that's not very well. What I heard of the opposition in general is that they don't want any interference from abroad. They want it to be a Syrian revolution. They don't want to be linked to any foreign powers or power. The regime has already sometimes accused them of that. I think the international community can would best do by, if they want, next to perhaps sanctions. By the way, sanctions in the past haven't helped any a lot in many cases, like in Iraq or in other places. But they should try to communicate also directly with the regime. I know it's painful for certain politicians to say, well, I'm going to contact the president because I don't want to deal with him, all this violence. But if you want to be a little bit more pragmatic, this at least is something which should be tried out.
On Friday, we had some big demonstrations in Hama. The army has now moved back into Hama. Do you think that the Syrian armed forces are too overstretched to deal with the protest all over the country?
I don't think they are overstretched. They will be tired, of course. They are elite force, because they will not put in the general armed forces. They won't put them in it because they are not reliable enough. I think they hope that in the end these demonstrations will stop. But if you have demonstrations all over the country, big ones, it will be very difficult to control, although Syria has a big army. But if you restrict it to the forces which are really reliable, it becomes difficult. But I think it will continue. But overstretched, it's already over 100. I think today it's the 113th day. So, but also one should take into account the size of the demonstrations. Some are very small, but this one in Hama was very, very big.
How do you see it playing out? What are the prospects for a democratic Syria?
Well, I think the road from a dictatorship to a democracy is very, very rough, goes through with a lot of violence. Well, there is already a lot of violence. What could happen, for instance, that within the armed forces there's going to be more opposition against the president, against the regime. But this regime has had experiences for over 40 years to deal with how it's best to locate reliable officers. So it could turn out into another military coup from within. It could turn out in not anyone is interested in a civil war. Not anyone. So it could turn out nevertheless into a big disturbances with a sectarian dimension, because the regime is very much Alawite dominated. But I would guess it will be first a different type of with military regime, which might then guide the regime further into a direction of democracy. But it is going to be a very tough road, because I don't expect to have any kind of scenario like in South Africa, that after so many years of dictatorship or racism, or in this case sectarianism, The spirit of reconciliation is very big. Although I must admit that I am amazed at the peacefulness of all these demonstrations. I think this is the strength of the opposition, that thus far they have been very peaceful.
Do you think there are any prospects of Alawite generals joining the opposition?
Well, I think that is one of the biggest danger for the regime, is that Alawite generals will join the opposition, or not join the opposition, they will become themselves the opposition. Because one should take into account that although the regime is heavily dominated by Alawites, the Alawite community is also undergoing the same dictatorship. So there are many people in the Alawite community who are also suffering heavily from this dictatorship. It's not just as one party of that one section of the country doesn't have this dictatorship. This dictatorship is all over Syria, including over the Alawite area, if you can call it that way. So there are many, many Alawite opponents to the regime. So the key, the definition is not whether they're Alawite or not, but whether they are very close to the, let's say, the ruling family, if you want. So this is, I think, the biggest danger for the regime: opposition from within the Alawite community itself.
Just finally, if Bashar al-Assad was to fall, where do you think he would go?
Well, I think they wouldn't let him go, because if there is any accountability, there would be he would be court-martialed. I mean, if he would be toppled, it would be only logical that his enemies would bring him before justice. And after all, even if he would not be the very person himself who carried out all this violence, he is responsible for it as a president. So he would be. He could await the heaviest punishment, as you have already seen also in the prospects of President Mubarak in Egypt. He has seen also from other countries what may happen, or to presidents. So he has no place to go, except, I'm afraid, to be brought before justice inside Syria.
Okay, Nicholas, thank you very much.
What?